Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. We're going to start with some articles from AARP, the magazine, and we're going to start with Upfront, the A-List, Seven Things Ingenue Ellis Suggests Doing Now. 1. Be a believer. I did not have faith in myself. I had no money and was raised by my grandmother on government assistance. But she believed in me. So I try to encourage other people who dim their lights to let their lights shine. 2. Seek inspiration. Before I graduated from New York University, I was cast as Ariel in The Tempest with Patrick Stewart. I still wasn't sure about acting, but I saw that as a prophetic moment, and it made me want to continue. 3. Be patient. It took me until age 50 to get nominated for anything. 2 Emmys for When They See Us and Lovecraft Country. There's no life expectancy on creativity, no time limit. 4. Raise up heroes. Oracine Price was someone no one knew, but she mentored her daughters, Venus and Serena, as much as her husband did, and changed the face of tennis. I also deeply admire Fannie Lou Hamer, a Mississippi sharecropper who helped organize Freedom Summer. 5. Ride on. Biking is essential to my joy. People always look at me and they're like, "Where's your car?" 6. Honor thy roots. Mississippi will always be home. I live in the house where I was raised. Bad pipes, raining inside. But I have to keep my grandmother's house going. And we need progressives down here. And 7. Keep singing. A song we sing in church goes, "I've come too far from where I started. From nobody told me that the road would be easy. But I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me, and that's how I feel." And this interview was as told to Tim Appello. Ingenue Ellis plays Venus and Serena Williams' mother in the film King Richard and is writing a screenplay about civil rights leader Fannie Lou Hamer. And her quote here, "I despair sometimes over the world we're living in. That's when I connect with my family. Write. Get on my bike. Go to places where I can find joy." And she is 52. Now, also from AARP, the magazine, let's look at Upfront Live, some tips that we can all use. Step right in. Eliminate that tripping hazard on the floor with a curbless shower. Once upon a time, no-step showers were unsexy bathroom adaptations for older people who wanted to age in place. Now they are all the rage. Even millennials are posting photos of their installations on Instagram. As we see a shift toward minimalism in bathroom spaces, we consider a shower curb yet another thing that gets in the way, both physically and visually, says Shauna Percival of Styleberry Creative Interiors in San Antonio. The practical benefits aren't just the reduced risk of tripping on a threshold. Fewer edges mean fewer places for mildew to form, notes Ferenc Tajik, the founder of Crest Builders in Newport Beach, California. But that threshold did serve an important function, keeping water from seeping onto your floor, which means no-step showers should be installed with care. 1. It's all about the slope. A sloped shower floor is created by a tray or a pan set directly on your floor, joists, or concrete floor, rather than on a built-up surface, explains Raf Howery, CEO and founder of Kukan, a home renovation data and intelligence platform in Menlo Park, California. 2. Go bigger if possible. A larger shower will make it easier to have the appropriate slope for drainage. They recommend a minimum dimensions of 42 by 42 inches. that side could also eliminate the need for a door. A pretty sleek look, as long as the water won't reach the opening. And three, it can be a wise choice. Installation can run $3,000 to $5,000, says Amy Moneypenny of Leaf Home Safety Solutions in Hudson, Ohio. In addition to keeping customers safer for longer in their homes, these modifications increase home value. Now let's look at rodent resistance. Keep pesky critters from coming indoors in winter. Noise? No. Don't bother with ultrasonic devices. Those are gimmicks, said William Dahl, a trapping consultant at Pennsylvania Rodent Control. Animals tolerate the sound once they realize there's not an actual threat. Find their doors. Seal off all holes in your foundation and where utility lines enter the house. Mice are pure cartilage, so they can get through an opening the size of a dime, notes Robert Allen of Rochester, New York. And do some preventive gardening. Rodents like to move about undercover, so remove vegetation along your foundation. If you maintain a clean perimeter, they're more likely to go to your neighbor's house. Now let's look at hangers reinvented. Redesigns aren't limited to computers and cars. These updated variations on the classic closet hanger can do so much more than the basic wire or plastic varieties that we grew up with. Now we have downward duds. Not all garments have to be side by side. Tier hangers create more room by sending some shirts, pants, and skirts downward. So these are the ones that have several layers of places to hang your clothes from the top to the bottom. Then at your service, this battery-powered unit holds numerous ties and belts. You can rotate through your options with the push of a button. Then, jack of all trades, a deep notch keeps turtlenecks from stretching. Hooks provide versatility. A central nook can hold a tie or a necklace. So this is one that has lots of little nooks in it. So you can hang a skirt by the strings that are attached to the skirt. You can put your ties through the loops in the middle. And the next one has a bunch of holes, circles. Scarf storage. This special hanger could be a game changer for you if you're into scarves. Liberate them from being stuffed into a drawer. And finally, dangle bangles. It's nice to see your baubles in close proximity to your clothes. A jewelry hanger has numerous compartments. So this one is shaped like a woman's dress, and it has lots of little shelves and nooks where you can put things. Now let's look at Let the Sunshine In. So this is Upfront Tech. First, I'm going to read an article here that's called Browsing Incognito. Want to keep your internet search history private? Here's how. Search engines, companies, and advertisers monitor your online activities so they can serve you ads targeted to your interests. It's legal, but if you prefer not to leave a trail, you have two main choices. The weaker option is private browsing. All mainstream browsers, including Chrome, Firefox, Microsoft Edge, and Safari, have an incognito or private browsing mode in the settings. After you close your browser, your history, cookies, and website data are cleared from advertisers' use. But it doesn't keep websites from monitoring what you do while visiting them, nor does it prevent your internet service provider or employer, if it's a work computer, from seeing the sites that you visit. A stronger option is private search engines. Use these instead of Google, Bing, or Yahoo to keep searches from being recorded or sold to third parties. Sites you visit can still track you while you're there. Some popular options include DuckDuckGo, Brave Search, Startpage, Quant, and Peakier. Now let's move on to Let the Sunshine In. This winter, don't burrow yourself into hibernation. These products can make the season feel a little more like summer. 1. Daylight bulbs. Brands such as Philips and Sylvania now market light bulbs designed to mimic natural light. The secret? More blue in the light spectrum. In comparison, soft white bulbs are more yellow. Bright white bulbs more white. Daylight bulbs have become popular for kitchens and bathrooms. 2. Tubular skylights. Cheap, smaller, and easier to install than a traditional skylight, a tubular skylight uses a light-collecting dome on your roof and a reflective tube to funnel sunlight into a room. While professional installation is advised, tubular skylights deliver natural light that no light bulb can. If you're in a really well-lit doctor's office, that's around 500 lux, L-U-X, a measurement of light, says Jamie Zeitzer, an associate professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at the Stanford Center for Sleep Sciences and Medicine. If you go outside in New York City on an overcast day, you're looking at 10,000 lux. Number 3, surprise alarm clocks or sunrise alarm clocks. Gradually brightening, starting about 30 minutes before the alarm goes off, these gadgets mimic the sunrise. The generated light seeps through your eyelids and into your brain and promotes a gentle awakening, which is less shocking than a traditional audio alarm. But older people may find that introducing light into the bedroom could rouse them too early. Zeitzer points out that as people age, they become more sensitive to light during sleep. And number 4, light therapy lamps and light boxes. These products provide high light levels up to 10,000 lux, designed primarily for people with seasonal affective disorder, a mood-altering condition that affects about 5% of Americans. Doctors discourage light therapy without medical consultation. And here's another little bit of information. Texts giving you the blues. We posed a question on Facebook. What are your biggest struggles with personal technology? One commenter wanted to know why text messages aren't standardized. Jason R. Rich, author of AARP Personal Tech How-To Books, explains, on an iPhone, the blue texts are iMessages, which offer animated effects and integration with some other apps. These work only when sent between Apple devices. The green bubbles are traditional text messages without such functionality. Now we know. Now, let's move on to The Complete Guide to Heart Health from Centennial Living. This is for people over 50, although it probably applies to everybody. We're in a new section now that's called Work Up a Sweat. It's not just a cardio exercise that will help improve your heart health. One of the most important things you can do to reduce your risk of heart disease at any age is exercise. And we're not talking gardening or window shopping. You should get a little glisten on. Exercising at moderate to vigorous intensity trains your heart to be a more efficient pump, sending out more blood with every contraction. It lowers your blood pressure, improves your cholesterol, parentheses, it raises your good cholesterol, and your body's ability to regulate blood sugar, and it reduces inflammation, says interventional cardiologist Robert Harrington, former president of the American Heart Association and current chairman of the Department of Medicine at Stanford University in California. As you exercise and use those large muscles in the body, like the back and legs, it causes your heart to use oxygen more efficiently, he says, and it can make it easier to maintain a healthy weight or lose pounds, which in and of itself can help your heart. Finally, working out on regular can just help you live longer. And researchers believe exercise can make those extra years better quality ones, staving off sickness and disability until the very end of life, an idea called compression of morbidity. If you're currently sedentary, any kind of exercise activity is better than nothing and will have a positive impact on your health. You don't have to tackle a big hike or take up running, But those activities that make your heart work a little harder will improve your fitness, and that's where the sweet spot is. So let's look at aerobic exercise. All it takes to get started is just 30 minutes a day on most days, aiming for a minimum of 150 minutes a week. 30 minutes of vigorous walking is a good dose, said Harrington. If you do more, it can create an incremental benefit for the heart, but that walk will give you a good base to start with. Speaking of more, the World Health Organization recently updated its exercise guidelines, recommending that U.S. adults, even seniors and people with certain chronic diseases, accumulate 150 to 300 minutes of moderate intensity exercise a week. If you add in vigorous exercise, you can get by with less, since every minute of vigorous exercise counts as two moderate minutes. Exercise has such potent benefits, it can even compensate for the negative health effects of too much sitting. The authors of a 2020 review published in the journal Atherosclerosis concluded high levels, 60 to 75 minutes per day, of moderate to vigorous physical activity appear to eliminate the increased risk of CVD associated with excessive sedentary behavior. Replacing sedentary behavior with any intensity of physical activity will produce health benefits. However, the greatest benefits occur when replacing sedentary behavior with moderate to vigorous intensity physical activity. Better yet, sit less while you're at it. Strength training. The WHO, guidelines also recommend doing strength training, targeting your entire body, two or more times a week. A 2019 study published in Medicine and Science in Sports and Exercise found that people who did an hour of weight training each week had up to a 70% reduced risk of suffering a heart attack or stroke compared to those who didn't lift weights. Cardio exercise showed a similar benefit. Adding muscle also gives your metabolism a boost in many ways. Lean muscle burns more calories per pound than fat does, so adding more muscle increases the calories you burn at rest. Muscle also helps regulate blood sugar by pulling it into the muscles where it serves as a ready store for fuel. Adding muscle has another protective effect, especially for people who are trying to lose weight. When you start burning more calories than you're consuming, your body can tap into your muscle stores, which will slow your metabolism and potentially set you up for a dangerous condition called sarcopenia. Maintaining or even adding muscle as you lose pounds will keep your metabolism elevated and preserve strength that's crucial for helping you avoid potentially fatal falls, among other things. While hormonal shifts that come with aging can make it a little harder to build muscle, with a consistent program, you will notice changes in your strength and shape. Weight training doesn't just mean grabbing barbells or jumping on weight machines, although those are perfectly good tools if you're so inclined. Your own body weight may be sufficient to challenge your muscles, such as with squats, lunges, push-ups, and core moves. But there are many different strength tools out there, including dumbbells, kettlebells, resistance tubes, sliding discs, weighted balls and bags, suspension trainers like the TRX, and more. Your main goal when you're strength training, try to hit each area of your body, legs, hips, glutes, abs, back, chest, and arms at least twice a week, and do 1 to 3 sets of 10 to 12 reps using a weight that's somewhat challenging to lift by your final rep. You can even combine your strength moves with cardio exercises for a dual aerobic plus strength benefit, or just do your strength moves back to back for that heart pumping and time saving effect. Hit it harder. And it's HIIT. Vigorous exercise, think a speedy run, intense cycling class, or super steep hike, puts extra good stress on your heart and also trains it to recover quickly. It can also improve how your body metabolizes fat and sugar and some research has shown high-intensity exercise targets the fat around your midsection, visceral fat, first. Spending 30 minutes or longer at a high intensity is fairly uncomfortable. A more embraceable way to work vigorous exercise into your routine is with high-intensity interval training, better known as HIIT. It's when you alternate going hard with easier recovery periods. Anyone at any level can do it. In fact, people in cardiac rehab, yes, even after a heart attack, even learn how to do interval training to help improve their fitness. Adding in a couple of high-intensity workouts a week can make a significant dent in your exercise goals, since it basically cuts your exercise time in half. Give it a try with the workout below, which we will look at, and then it has more rest than work, and you can do it with any type of cardio. So here's a 20-minute HIIT workout. Always start with a 3 to 5 minute warm-up before any interval session. As you get more proficient and fit, you can start playing with the work-to-rest ratio, increasing the work and decreasing the recovery time to a 1-to-1 or even a 2-to-1 ratio. If you find you need more time in between to recover, take it. Eventually, your heart and lungs will adapt and you'll see yourself progressing. So, for 0 to 5 minutes, warm up, light to moderate intensity. 5 to 5:15, increase speed and resistance, hard. 5:15 to 6, recover, easy. 6 to 11, repeat minute 5 times, alternating, going hard for 15 seconds and recovering for 45 seconds. Then maintain a moderate pace for 11 to 12, and then 12 to 18, repeat minute 5, 6 times, easy to hard. I know that's kind of hard to follow, but basically it's hard work and then rest. Now, after all that exercise, let's look at prevention's finding your calm, and we're into a new chapter of that as well, the power of positivity. When you make a conscious effort to reframe negative thoughts, you regain control. Follow these simple strategies to help you make that mental shift. How to be more positive. According to psychologists, spoiler alert, you have more control over your emotions than you think you do. When it comes to general rules for living, perhaps Monty Python said it best. Always look on the bright side of life. But for anyone who's been stuck in traffic when they are already late to work or received a curt email from a boss, staying positive can sometimes be easier said than done. It can be hard to stay positive, especially during times when things feel out of your control, but looking on the bright side doesn't mean you have to pretend as if you're living in a Disney movie. After all, when was the last time little blue birds showed up to help you do your hair in the morning? Instead, it's more about taking an optimistic approach to the world, just as it is, and believing that you are resilient, explains Patricia Thompson, PhD, a corporate psychologist and creator of the 21-day Crash Course in Emotional Intelligence. Positive people face the same challenges as more pessimistic people. However, because they have an underlying belief that they can withstand the inevitable challenges in life, they do indeed bounce back more quickly. That ability to bounce back more quickly is something that will also help you in other aspects of your life. Optimism has been linked to better health, better success in business, and happier relationships, according to Thompson. Mostly because being positive often means that you're a more persistent person. And if you're persistent, you're probably more likely to succeed. So, how can you capture all of this good energy for yourself? Turns out there are small tweaks you can make to your everyday routine that will help you become a more positive person, some of which are backed by actual scientific research. Here we have 12 tips recommended by psychologists for how to be more positive. Now, on later programs, we're going to go into these more detail, but I'll just tell you, they are seek out activities that bring you joy, no matter how small. Take the negative when it comes. Don't give in to negative bias. Grin and bear it. Accept that the world is chaotic. Understand that you're in charge of your emotions. Write a letter of gratitude. Exercise. Eat right and get enough sleep. Get out into nature. Do something for someone else. Remember that it's just a journey. And have an encouraging mantra ready. So we'll delve into those more in subsequent programs. Now, in the little bit of time we have left, I'm going to go to AARP Bulletin and tell you about a few people here. Chris Maynard, 67, Feather Art, Olympia, Washington. Maynard chose feathers as his medium because he wants to fly but can't. Before his artistic career, Maynard worked for the state of Washington, managing water flows on the river to protect the salmon stocks. Now he looks to the sky. Feathers and birds are symbols of achievement, escape, and transformation. And so the article that they show here, he's working on, looks like something that will end up being framed, and he's using different types of feathers arranged in just really gorgeous patterns. Then we have Mike Flynn, 71, watercolors and oil painting, mixed media, Manassas, Virginia. Flynn began taking weekly art classes while still working as a U.S. postal inspector. He retired in 2001. He was taking workshops and lessons, and he got hooked, he said. Unfortunately, he didn't have any art classes in the high school he went to, so he kind of missed out on any sort of art or being interested in an art career. He realizes now that he missed a lot by doing that. And one more, Nell Painter, 78, painting, drawing, printmaking, Essex County, New York. Painter was a professor of American history until 2005, when she retired to study art. There are some really good things about American society, and one of them is that you can continue your education at any age. There is just an amazing array of opportunity to change your life. I think the most important thing is just to get started. I work step by step by step and see where the process takes me. And I remember not to let it be easy. You don't stop at the first, second, or third piece you make from that initial inspiration. You keep going, and you go deeper. Well, folks, we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.